according to John, chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. First five verses of the Gospel of John are dedicated completely to a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, defined, of course, by the word Word, W-R-D. In the beginning was the Word. I've taught the church over the years, Matthew reveals Christ as the great King. Mark reveals Him as the servant of man. Luke reveals Him as the Son of Man. And John reveals Him as the God-man, the Son of God. These first five verses in John's Gospel is a strange introduction to the gospel message, but there's a purpose in this, and I think we'll find it in the very next verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is not John the writer of the gospel, but it's making reference to John the Baptist. Jesus said of him, among those who are born of woman, there had not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, using a contrast between the people who are children of God, the kingdom of God, and those who are great in this world. John was a great witness. And that verse describes him as a man sent from God whose name was John, but the next verse says the same came for a witness. Sent from God. God sent. He was sent for a witness. To bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Three times in these verses, we find John the Baptist being referred to as a witness. As we look at his life and the things that we find in the Bible about him, you see what a great witness he was. Back in Genesis chapter 1, you can turn back and read this, but I'm not going to this morning. But eight times, we find reference, beginning with the first reference, and God said, let there be light. In the creation that God made in 7 days, eight times we read this, and God said, and all these things happen, marvelous things, things that we can't comprehend, but they're put there for our information that we might know. God said. Now, what person of the Godhead is it making reference to? It just says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Now we know, having been taught, that there's three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, and we generally attribute creation to God the Father. But there's also God the Son, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometime when you need something to read, pick up Genesis 1:1 and read and see if you don't find all three persons of the Godhead in the first few verses of the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And John reveals him to us as in the beginning was the Word. So we can conclude, and I think very logically and rightly so, that the one person of the Godhead that spoke was the Word, Jesus Christ. As we read in the New Testament, we find in many places creation attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, we find it again. Hebrews chapter 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Speaking particularly and specifically of Jesus Christ. So when we read in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, with the Father, with the Spirit. And the Word was God, as much as the Spirit, as much as the Father. The Word, Jesus Christ, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. I want you to remember this as we preach this morning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's John's testimony. So when we think which person of the Godhead spoke and brought all these things that we see day after day and we enjoy and we wonder at, Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the one who spoke. Read in the book of the Psalms, He spake and it was so. Well, what's it talking about? Who is the He? Well, it's Jesus Christ. But today, we want our message to be about the person in verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. After saying all these wondrous things in the first 5 verses about Jesus Christ, then we read, there was a man sent from God. That has a significance. A God-sent man with a God-sent purpose. His name was John. You ever read in the Gospel of Luke about the birth of John, you'd see the struggle to get his name, and his father couldn't speak, and finally he wrote it on the board, and he said his name was John. They wanted to name him after his father. He said, no, his name is John. He said, well, nobody in your family is named John. He said, his name is John. And then the Lord opened his mouth, and he began to really praise God. John the Baptist, by the testimony of Jesus Christ, among those that are born of women, there have not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. That's quite a testimony. So he has a message for us, and we can learn a lot from his life, particularly here in John. I want to do that this morning if we could. Why was he sent? He goes on to tell us he was sent as a witness of the light. Who's the light? Well, verse 4 said he was the light of men. Verse 1 says he was the Word of God. He was the Word. And John the Baptist was sent to bear witness. He was sent specifically to identify Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. You remember that? We read in verse 29 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. He was sent to manifest that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is God's Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, not Abraham's Lamb. In Genesis 22. Not Jacob's Lamb. Not Moses' Lamb. The Lamb of God. And he was sent to point him out. And he does that very aptly in verse 29 of chapter 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Look at him. I believe John pointed to him. Because in verse 35, we find it again. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The title of my sermon today is a message of John the Baptist. John's message. And we will summarize this in the end, may make more sense to you. God sent him, John, to identify the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, there was a need for that. He didn't come with a throng of angels. He didn't come with a halo around his head. He came as a Jew, a common person that had no significance outwardly. We read that in Isaiah 53, remember? There's nothing about him to mark him as the Messiah. When they looked upon him, he looked like any other Jew. So he needed to be identified, and John the Baptist was sent specifically to do that. When you follow him further in John's gospel, go to chapter 3, if you would, please, where we find John again. Of course, immediately, when Jesus begins to baptize, though he didn't, his disciples did, and more people are following Jesus than John, then they come to John and point it out to him. Now, first of all, verse 24, for John was not yet cast into prison. He's still alive. While Christ is ministering, John is ministering. Verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, you pointed him out. He's the light of the world. You pointed him out as who he was. Verse 26, in the last part, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. What's going on, John? What's wrong? Envy. Trying to provoke John the Baptist to envy. But notice his answer. Verse 27, John 3. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I told you that. That was my purpose. And I identified, I'm not the Christ. I'm not that prophet. I'm not Elijah. You read that in chapter number 1. But then I'm sent before him. I told you. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Behold, make a straight path for your feet. Fulfilling Malachi chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 40, which prophesied of the coming of John the Baptist, who would point out the Christ. But notice verse 29, he that hath the bride is a bridegroom. Now we're talking about the message of John the Baptist. Not only did he have a message that, behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world, we had another message here that gets overlooked sometimes. He that hath the bride is a bridegroom. John pointed to Jesus Christ not only as the Lamb of God, but he identifies him definitely and specifically as the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John said, it's enough. It is enough that I've seen him, that I've identified him. I'm not going to be jealous of him. You're not going to provoke me to jealousy, because I know who he is. He's from heaven. But look at verse 30. And it might say, covet this attitude. He must increase, but I must decrease. What a spirit this man had. Among those that are born of women, there had not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But what is he? What is his testimony? What does he say about himself? He must increase. I must decrease. He goes on to explain it in verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is the earth is earthly. John said, I'm just earthly. I'm of the earth. I'm just a man sent by God. And I sent to bear witness and to identify the Christ, the Lamb of God, the bridegroom. And he speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from above, or he that cometh from heaven is above all. Speaking of Christ. Verse 32. What he hath seen, now look at this, what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth that no man receiveth his testimony. I want you to go over what I've said to you this morning. Who was it that said, light be? Let there be light? Who was it that spoke that? I've already tried to show you that it was none other than Jesus Christ. And the New Testament is filled with the testimonies of that. Over and over again, it said he created all things for his, and the book of Revelation says the same thing. He's a creator. He's a sustainer. Read in Colossians, he holds all things up. But when John says, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. What has he seen and heard? Did he see the earth come into existence when he said, come forth? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did God create the heavens and the earth? The Bible tells us clearly he did it in his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if he did it in Christ, did Christ see it? What did John say about him? He was before me. I'm not worthy to bend down and loose his sandals. He was before me. What did Christ see? Think about this. Did he see when creation became a reality? When the earth, did he see the division of the expanse? Did he see the grass begin to grow when God commanded? When he said, let the earth bring forth bountifully? Did Christ see that? Well, you know he did. Did he see the fishes in the sea when he commanded the ocean to bring forth all these things bountifully? Yes, he saw that. Did he see in Genesis 1, verse 27, and the Lord God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our image. Now, this is a staggering thought, but when they looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, what did they see? Why did John have to identify him? He was a man like any other man. When God created man in his own image, what pattern did he use? Who was the pattern? It was the Lord Jesus Christ before he ever came into the world. He was made in the image of God just like we are. He saw that because he was the one who made man. When he brought Eve to Adam to be a helpmeet, who performed the wedding ceremony? Who brought the two of them together? It's not good that man should be alone. Who was it that brought the two of them together and caused them to become man and wife? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Father was there and I know the Spirit was there, but primarily and principally, and the Bible is clear on this, the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. He created man, he created woman, and he brought them together. So you might not be so amazed about what John says here. What he has seen and heard, that he testifies. What's one of the questions the Jews kept posing to Jesus Christ about marriage and divorce? What did Jesus answer? two shall be one flesh. From the beginning it hath not been said. Because the heart is your heart, Moses wrote a precept. But from the beginning of time it hath not been so. Why would he know that? Well, he was there when they came together. But just take that further, as far as you want to take it. Who was there when the earth was covered with water? And all flesh died except those eight souls in the ark. Who was it that closed the door of the ark? Who was it was there when Noah came off the ark? When John says, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony, he's talking about that Christ, from the beginning, knew all things, was in all things, he made all things, sustains all things. He was there at the confusion of tongues in chapter 11. He was there when the fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. He was there on the mountain with Jacob when he wrestled with him. Jacob wrestled with a man. Who was the man? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, John has a lot to tell us. What he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. When Jesus said, light be, who was he speaking for? He's speaking for the Father. Who made it effective? Who made the light come into existence? He spoke it, but who moved on the face of the waters? When the earth was void, without form, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Beloved, all three persons of Godhead are involved, but primarily Christ is given the preeminence in all these things. And notice verse 35, the Father loveth the Son, has given all things into his hand. Remember Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being made in the fashions of man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Christ. John says, the Father loveth the Son. How many times do we read in the Scriptures, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased? We know the Father loved the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. How much did he love the Son that he can forgive the sins of multitudes of people just simply because they believe in his Son? But notice verse 26, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. This is John's message. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John's message included the gospel. Is that not the gospel? Is that what Jesus taught several places? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Same message, different person. But you see, John the Baptist not only had the message about the Lamb of God, not only had the message about Jesus Christ existing before time was, they had the message about the purpose of his death. God loved him so much that everyone who will believe in him, God will forgive them everything that they do against him. So John had the message of the gospel. He must increase. I must decrease. One of the hardest things a human being has to do is humble himself. It's hard for you. It's hard for me. But when you think about who this man is, this man sent from God, This man that has seen so many things, he saw the earth being created. But he was there. He was the creator. He saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, wrestled with Jacob before Jacob was saved. When he was through wrestling with Jacob, he changed his name because Jacob was a different person. He went up on the mountain, that old deceiver, supplanter, Jacob. But he came down off that mountain, Israel, a prince with God, a new man, walking with a limp. His life was affected from that day forward. Jacob always walked with a limp as a testimony that he'd been with the Lord. When you think about this, beloved, back in chapter 1 again, verses 12 and 13, notice now John's message was, as many as receiveth the Son hath everlasting life. Notice what verse 12 says in chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John said that. What he hath heard and seen, he testifieth, no man receiveth his testimony. Well, some did. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not all the wondrous works that men think you ought to do. They just believe on his name. But notice verse 13, which were born. Not of blood. It wasn't because they were Abraham's seed. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. God didn't save him because he was Abraham's seed. God made him a new creature. God made him a prince with God rather than a supplanter and deceiver. One who would steal his own brother's birthright. We're born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God made the difference. But notice how this connects with what we've just read in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. When we read that these men were born of God, who born them? Now we know the Holy Spirit quickens and makes alive, but it sounds to me like the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He lived before I was ever born. And John was older than Jesus Christ by about 6 months, the Bible tells us. But John said, he was before me. And all of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. Here's the message. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. When God would reveal himself to men, he did it in the person of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. One who came forth in the same image that God made man back in the book of Genesis. God formed man of the dust of the earth in his likeness. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And when he sent his Son into the world, he came in the same flesh. He came in the same likeness. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, in summary, what is the message of John the Baptist? You know, John lost his head for rebuking sin. You know, that's gruesome to even think about. They talk about some of the people over there beheading babies and beheading. What about the man who's among those born of women that have not arisen a greater than John the Baptist? What happened to him? Some woman wanted his head, and she got it on a platter. But he had a message while he was in this world for a short time. John's message was, first of all, make straight paths for your feet, because there's one coming after me who is before me. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, according to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm sent from God, according to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm sent to bear witness of the light. But I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not that prophet of Deuteronomy 18, 18. No, I'm just plain John. But I've got a message for you. And one day, he stands there, I believe, somewhere near the waters of Jordan. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He's the bridegroom. Ah, you want to get into something wonderful and beyond our even faintest understanding, go to the book of Revelation chapter 19 and read about the bridegroom. His wife hath made herself ready. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to be married to his church, I believe. Going to be married to those in the church that are faithful to him, that he chooses for his own. John made that clear. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm not the bridegroom. And it's enough for me just to hear his voice. That's my joy is fulfilled in that. He must increase, that I must decrease. Wouldn't be too long till John would be no more. His voice would be stilled. He had no more message. But boy, he left a message for us the time that he had. He speaks the words of the Father. I always remember this. It was a favorite verse of mine for so many years because it helped me to understand the gospel. John 5:24. Verily, verily. These are the words of Jesus Christ in John's gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. That just really destroyed all the teaching that I'd had all my life about being good enough for God to save you. Ron said this morning in his devotion, there's none good, no, not one. The only one that's really good is, Jesus said this, none good but God. Of course, he was God himself. But he speaks the words of the Father. When Jesus preached in the simplicity of the messages that he preached over and over again, it's basically, believe on me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Him that cometh to me, I'll not cast out. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. When you think about all that John said to us in a relatively short time, as I said, he was 6 months older than the Lord. He began his ministry at the age of about 30. So he had a relatively short ministry. But it affected a multitude of people because he was a God-sent man. God sent him. Oh, that's so important. John preached Christ crucified, the Lamb of God. How else can you understand that? What was a lamb for? What was Moses' lamb for? Why did they have to select a lamb for the Passover? Had to be crucified, had to be killed. Blood had to be shed and sprinkled on the door. All that pictured, this is the Christ, this is Messiah, this is the Savior. This is the one who taketh away the sins of the world. But you know, he also preached he'll rise again. Not just that he'll die. You know, Isaac was a prelude to the Lamb of God there in Genesis chapter 22 when Abraham took him up on the mountain to take his life. And Isaac asked, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." And he did, and here he is. And John pointed him out. And John not only pointed him out as the Lamb of God, but he pointed him out as the Savior. This last verse in chapter number 3, I want to read in conclusion. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." He didn't ask you to be circumcised or baptized or anything else. He asked you to believe. But let's finish the verse. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Every man that leaves this world without believing that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, without believing that Jesus Christ could put away their sins. The way this is written, it's understood. The wrath of God is already on you. You don't have to wait till you die to find out. It abides on you. You know what that means? It abideth on you. It's on you now. It'll be on you tomorrow. It'll be on you the day you die. And it'll be on you throughout all eternity. It abideth on him. So what is John's message? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. Believe on him. Look to him and be saved. A short ministry, but an effective ministry. And Jesus testified of him, "Among those that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But he that is at least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist." The measurement of this world versus the measurement of spiritual things and eternity. To die without Christ is to die with the wrath of God on you. And it'll never leave you. We can't grasp that. Nonetheless, it's true. God's wrath. I'm going to preach tonight about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Cast into a burning, fiery furnace. A very inadequate picture of Gehenna, but nonetheless, fire is our enemy, and fire is God's instrument so many times in judgment. God used fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, he rained fire down from heaven and burned them right down into the earth. May God help you if you're not saved to look to Christ. That's what John preached. He's from above. I'm of this world. He's from heaven. He's the Savior. May God help you to grasp that. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word.